Well, thank you all for joining us today. It's great to be back in London. I know there's never a shortage of work for all of you to do, so the fact that you're taking a full day or part of a day out of your time to be here with us is very important for us to see, and we appreciate that. And a special thank you to some of our members who will be participating later this afternoon on a supervision panel. That's Barbara Wassel from Lloyds Bank, so thank you. And Duncan Dunn from SSY Futures is here or will be here to participate. So thank you for doing that. So this is our third and final workshop of 2025. We've conducted workshops this year in obviously New York and Chicago, where NFA's two offices are. And clearly we have saved the best for last. And this isn't only just a great trip for all of us at NFA to come to London to be with you all, but London clearly is such a critical derivatives market. And for us at NFA, London is a huge venue for members of NFA. Clearly, by the number of you in the room, that's true from all member categories. So this is a venue that is near and dear to our heart, and we hope to come back regularly. So I do have a couple of things I want to share before we get into a networking break and before we continue on with the agenda. I mean, first, as you could see from the first panel today, it's very substantive, and NFA staff has worked very hard to put together an agenda which hopefully will add value for you, and you could take items back to your firms and discuss them within your firms and be prepared, better prepared for your next examination and for your interactions with NFA. After I finish my remarks, I'm happy to take questions while I'm up here. I'm going to be here for the whole day, so you can just grab me outside or approach me during lunch. I'm happy to answer questions or just talk about anything that's gone on here today or any of the priorities at NFA. I'm going to discuss a few of the priorities, though, that are going on at NFA. First, major changes at NFA in the context of our regulatory department. So we are now one regulatory department called the Member Oversight Department, and I am the head of the Member Oversight Department. Previously, we had three regulatory departments. So those of you who are FCMs, IBs, CPOs, or CTAs probably had most of your contact with the Futures Compliance Department. And those of you who are swap dealers had most of your NFA contacts with the OTC Derivatives Department, which I used to head up. As of July 1st of this year, we combined those two regulatory departments and the Registration Department, which is the department that onboards new members into NFA as they register and become NFA members. We've combined them into one large regulatory department. But much more than just merging departments, we are on a year-long project, probably more. It will likely go past next summer to integrate the three departments and evaluate everything we do, how we do it, and why we do it. NFA has been around for 42, 43 years or so, so we are now taking this time to focus on evaluating all of those aspects of our regulatory functions to set ourselves up for success for the next years and decades, so we can interact with our members, provide our core regulatory oversight functions in a way that's meeting the needs of our member firms and meeting the needs of the market. So stay tuned for more on that. Hopefully, during the transition, it will not be noticeable to you that we are moving things around, but over time, I suspect it will be noticeable to you as we develop greater efficiencies, greater use of technology, and our interactions with you. I suspect it will evolve over time, but don't expect disruption because there will not be any. During this whole process, we are not looking at, well, which department did it better? Let's just take that route. We really are evaluating from the bottom up and the top down to find the best way forward for every function that we do. So there will never be uttered the words, well, this is how we've always done it. We're going to pick the best way, and that might be a way that we're not currently contemplating now. So since I'm the head of this department, I want to share a little bit about me and sort of my perspective on how I approach all of this. It's a very large regulatory department, it's a very large job, and it's very important as we approach our key regulatory functions, but it's very important to you that we do that in a way that's effective and adds value. So I am a lawyer by trade, but I'm not a lawyer right now at NFA, and with a long history of being a litigator. which meant that every day was filled with adversarial discussions, conflict, pounding on tables to try to make a point. I've left all that behind, thankfully, a very long time ago. I entered the derivatives industry in the enforcement division at the CFTC, where I still was kind of a hostile litigator, but thankfully, I got the opportunity to move up into the chairman's office and do regulatory policy work. And the chairman at the time was Walt Lucan, who some of you may know, who's now the head of the Futures Industry Association. But at that time, our focus in the regulatory policy world was looking at trying to be smart regulators and think about a regulatory issue and look at all of the options that we could possibly consider to achieve our regulatory objectives and then pick the one that was least costly and that was less disruptive. And it was all very calm and it was all very civilized. And then, like that, 2008 came, and in the United States, we had the Dodd-Frank Act and the rule-writing bonanza, and regulatory policy and regulatory engagement again became almost like a full-body contact sport. There was conflict, there was conflict with members, conflict between regulators, and that was something that we all lived through, but it definitely influenced my view on how to be a regulator. And it feels to me like over the last several years, that conflict, that adversarial nature of regulation has eased. I hope you feel it as well. Of course, there's a lot more regulations we all have to deal with, a lot more work to do, but it feels a little bit less adversarial and a little bit less of a conflict. As I approach this role and I think about how we provide our oversight to our member firms, that's really key in my mind. And it helps me boil down my view to a couple of key principles. I mean, first, I prefer collaboration to conflict when we're providing oversight. I prefer engagement to anxiety, and I certainly prefer to add value over just finding fault and assigning blame for deficiencies. So how do we do that? Generally, our engagement includes this. We're here to tell you what we are focused on, to tell you what we are seeing, to engage with you and listen to your questions and listen to your concerns so we can take information back to New York and Chicago and work that into our programs and that so you can take information that we provide to you back to your shops and work that into your programs and your processes going forward. We also spend a lot of time in other member engagement scenarios. Each year we have sort of a member town hall where members of our board of directors, a group of officers and senior leaders take questions from our members, and we again provide our key priorities and things that we're focused on to our members, and we have very frank and open discussions about that. But another venue where we have these type of discussions is in our advisory committees. We have a number of advisory committees, a committee for each member category. So there's a SWAT participant, an IB, CPO-CTA, and an FCM advisory committee. And if we are contemplating issuing an interpretive notice or issuing rules, we consult with all of the advisory committees, and we get feedback, we take in the feedback, we make changes before we advance any new initiatives. So we use those advisory committees as a key tool to advance our interests. On our website, it lists all of the advisory committees, the members on the committees, when their terms expire. So if you or someone from your firm is interested in participating in an advisory committee, please let us know, and when there is a vacancy, we can work through the nominating process and see if we could get you or somebody from your firm onto the advisory committee. And we do take that work very seriously. We take the comments of those committees very seriously, and it's a huge resource for us. So think about that as you go back to your firms. How do we add value? I know many of you will think, okay, NFA is coming to do an exam. Mike Otten says they want to add value, but this doesn't feel like they're adding value. It feels difficult, and I get that. But the way we approach an exam is we do a couple hundred exams a year. So we see what's going on across firms. We see practices that are not so good. We see good practices, and we see really good practices. And we can, when we come into your firm, provide that fresh set of eyes to look at how you do things and let you know if there are things that are not quite right or if you're somewhat of an outlier from your peers. No one wants to be an outlier, and when we come in with those fresh eyes, we can let you know if there are things that we're seeing. Because we do know, no matter how strong the culture of compliance, at times, sometimes things just fall through the cracks. And we provide those fresh eyes to see that and let you know. I know in the discussions of preparing for exams and common exam deficiencies, if you get an exam report that lists a bunch of deficiencies, it provides additional work for you internally. There are a whole host of escalation procedures that you'll have to go through to remediate and all of that. But our ultimate goal is to have that add value to you and ensure that you are in complete compliance with the requirements. And as Patty mentioned, disciplinary actions as a result of exams are exceedingly rare. They are reserved for the most severe deficiencies, typically involving customer harm, fraud, things like that. So when we issue findings, you should not immediately be concerned that it's going to be escalated to a disciplinary action. We are just pointing out to you the things that we, as a fresh set of eyes, or as 10 fresh set of eyes, have come and identified in your firm that you need to focus on and work on. But not only do we try to add value to firms, clearly we want to add value to investors. And we know that if no one is watching, bad actors will emerge and customers will get harmed. And even when the percentage of bad actors to good actors is so small, the damage that they can do to individual investors is so great. And the damage they can do to all of us, just tarnishing the industry, is so great. So we are there watching, trying to find bad actors to make sure customers don't get harmed, that fraud doesn't occur. But despite our best efforts, it's inevitable that something will happen. A bad actor will be able to inflict harm on investors, and then we have to move quickly to try to resolve that. But it's not only us that's watching. I do want to point out that all of you as good actors in the industry have the opportunity to share with us if you see something that just doesn't seem quite right. We do, on occasion, get tips or complaints from our members who are in good standing to say, hey, go look at this. Something's going on here. It doesn't look quite right. And we have launched an investigation, and we have found serious, serious deficiencies which threaten to harm customers. So for those of you who have done that, thank you. We're watching. We know you're watching. And as good actors in the industry, I think that only stands to make the industry stronger. So a few other things I want to mention before we take a networking break. We're very focused on innovation, and I'm sure all of you are. Our markets continue to innovate in terms of market participants, products traded, how they're traded, venues that they're traded on, hours that they're traded, and the pace of innovation is never going to stop. It's just going to continue to accelerate. So how do we deal with that at NFA? We're very focused on our rule book and our exam processes and our general oversight processes to make sure that our rules are current and that they're meeting the needs of the day. Our advisory committees that I mentioned before help us do that. But we also go further and make sure that we are pulling in industry participants to help us train our staff and make sure that when our staff are coming out to do examinations, we understand the markets of today, that we're not asking questions in 2025 that were relevant in 2010. So it's a big focus for us to make sure we are innovating with you so we can provide relevant advice and oversight to our members. We want to make sure that our rule book stays up to date. We want to make sure we are considering all the influences in the market, and maybe I shouldn't say influences, but influencers, like Patty had mentioned, finfluencers, they're here. We see them everywhere, and they're not going to go away. So if you are using them or you understand that influencers are directing clients to your firm, pay close attention to that because it can be fraught with danger. Finally, I want to just highlight our focus on retail participation. Obviously, we want the integrity of the markets to be intact. We want to protect investors. We have a particular focus on retail investors. Over the last several years, the interest in market participation by retail investors has increased in every corner. We hear from regulators, we hear from members that retail participation has increased. Thankfully, we're not seeing an increase in customer complaints, and we're not seeing an increase in arbitration cases filed at the NFA. Those would be indications that something is going on and that retail participants may be taken advantage of. But we pay close attention to that. We also pay very close attention to education opportunities. NFA is a proud contributor to Futures Fundamentals, along with FIA, CME, and the Institute for Financial Markets. We come together to provide what we think is world-class advice to retail investors to make sure that they understand the risks of participating in the market so they can participate safely. And by safely, I mean they can contribute in a way where their eyes are wide open and they have all the information they need to make the decisions that they're going to make. So we focus very highly on that, and we will continue to do so. So before I end, I just want to highlight our collaboration with other regulators. Clearly, we are a self-regulatory organization overseen by the CFTC. We have regular discussions with the CFTC when the government's not closed. Officers at NFA meet regularly with the chairman and with commissioners when there are commissioners. And we meet with senior staff all the time. And our senior staff below the officer level regularly are in consultation with CFTC staff. They conduct examinations of us. They look at our exam processes. They look at exam reports. They look at how we conducted exams to make sure that we are doing our regulatory oversight in the way that we should. More importantly, the insight we get from them on what they're thinking and the insight we provide to them as the boots on the ground and the tip of the spear, to use a couple of cliches, we provide that value to them. When they call us and say, what's going on? What are you seeing here? What are you seeing in this market? We can tell them things and give them information that they don't really have access to sitting in Washington, D.C. and in New York, thinking more high-minded about regulatory policy. So we provide that value to them. But not only to them, other regulators. The FCA was mentioned before. Katie Clapper is here. And she's another key leader in the Member Oversight Department. She and I met with the FCA yesterday morning to talk about FCA priorities. We shared what we're seeing with our joint registrants and firms that we both regulate. It's a very collaborative discussion. Our discussions with the FCA are always great. The FCA is often interested in participating in our exam meetings, which is always very helpful. And I think that relationship will continue along the way. So that's all I want to say, but I'm